Stupid? Did you see why Ozzy thought he could get away with
the tricking the prophet?
Yeah.
Because at the end of our Torah, it says that Elisha did not know why that woman came to him.
That's today's lingo. That didn't exist then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Need a tweezer.
Okay. The Naaman starts from Melech Haram. Page 270. An important point to start with is that Aram at this time is an enemy of the Jews. Okay, Aram has almost always been our enemy. To this day, they're our worst enemy. Today it's called Syria. Okay? The reason why Aram was always such a threat, I mean, logistically, I think Iran poses a greater threat than Syria. But you have to consider Aram, that's not a greater threat because it's right on the border. Okay, you hear? You hear the difference? Aram is mamish to the north. There's also another country a little further northwest, which is called Sor, which is today called Lebanon. We were not always more than enemies together. Aram at this time in Melachim is not a friend of ours. And the head of their army, named Naaman, interesting name, Naaman, not related to faith, it could be with an Aleph. Right? Naaman with an Ayin means something pleasant.
Naim.
Okay. It's actually a Jewish name today.
Naama.
Naama? Naama, the girl's name. No, not Naama.
Naama was Noah's
wife. I mean, the Shorish Naim Mem is certainly a Semitic. Aram is very, very Semitic. Aram was Aram. Okay. So their chief of staff, Hayaish Gadol Lifnei Adonav, in the Sufanim. He was a great man in the eyes of all of his masters, meaning the kings loved the kings of Aram. And the Sufanim means that he was very, very well respected. Everyone looked at his countenance. He was a great man in Aram. Yivonasan Hashem Tshu'al Aram. Whenever Aram fought battles and won, it was everyone acknowledged it to Naaman. And we know from George Washington to Andrew Jackson to whoever, you know, to Eisenhower, when you win great battles, you become, well, let's shut that off. Okay, it says that he was Tivonos El Hashem Tshu'al Aram, the Ha'ish Hayaz Gibor Chayil Mitzorah. Although he was a great warrior, right, he was also a leper.
Here we go.
Yes, usually you look good English translations translate Mitzorah as Mitzorah. Because there's really no good English translation for this. From the Torah's description, it's really hard to explain that it is leprosy per se. It is certainly some kind of skin disorder. It is not considered a physical malady by the Torah. Some kind of spiritual malady, apparently from various sources. But it's certainly something that attacks the skin that you can see. Right? Whether that's what we call leprosy or not, and it appears to be very highly contagious.
But that would detract from the spiritual.
Okay.
From the
leprosy. Yes, absolutely. This is something that just came upon him now. A leper does not lead soldiers. Soldiers don't want to get near leper. So it says, "Ba'aram yatsu gidudim ba'yishpu me'eretz Yisrael na'arok tana, ba'tehivit ne'eshes nachman." The Arameans went out. They captured Jewish children, apparently. They captured Jews. And among them was a young girl, and she became the maid of Naaman's wife. We're on page 271 now. And now we're going to add to the Iran piece. Can we start us off in English?
Batomer El Virta. אחלי אדם מפני הנביא אשר בשומרון, עוזיה שאול עושה מצורתו
Have you heard that? This girl said to her, to Naaman's wife, right? If my master Naaman really wants to get better and be cured of his leprosy, there was a prophet in Shomron. He will cure him of his leprosy. Otherwise, how would Naaman know about Elisha? This captured girl, who probably doesn't love him too much, but this captured girl told him that there is a way out of your leprosy. Okay? You can go to my prophet. Okay, so let's see. So she went, gave Ladanov. Now it says he went and told his master. Right? So it means Naaman, because he had to get permission. Let me tell you, what would it be like in today's world for the head of the army of Aram to go to a Jewish prophet to get help?
But they go to Israel, to all the Jewish hospitals, all the Arabs.
Oh, of course, because they didn't have it.
Right.
But not from
but
Syria.
But you got to do it quietly. You can't do that. You can't.
They don't announce the army general of Syria went to the
But they go,
hospital.
They go.
And so if the chief of the army wants to get some kind of cure, now it's not because he's going to the best doctor in the world. Remember, we're not talking about medicine here. We're talking about the prophet. In Aram, they would say, we have spiritual guides also. You want to go to the Jew for one of his, who knows what his ritual entails. Right? So it says, the Avobe Yagid Ladunoglin, when he went to his master, the king of Aram, and he says, Kados the Kados di Brahanara Shemeret Yisrael. This is what that girl said. Now, look, you have to see this in many different directions. Why does the girl care about Naaman? I mean, she serves him. They would think maybe she's just trying to give you to ensnare you. You go down there and he'll give you a whammy.
Yeah, the girl's trying to get a favor so she can get free. Right?
Good. Could be also.
Of course.
Okay. So that's why this is the stuff of strategy. Remember in Shmuel days when Avner came over to David's side? The first thing that you would think is that maybe Avner was a spy, a counter-spy. Remember the Iranian pilot who landed a plane in Israel? And he wanted to join Israel's side. At first you think that's, great, you've got a plane from the enemy. But you have to wonder, maybe he's just got a spy program. So he's giving them messages back home. Mm-hmm. So you have to always be wary about these things. So he conferring with his king, does it make sense for me to go to Israel at this point? Let's see, Emma, what the king said.
Okay, ויאמר המלך על ארם, לך אבוא באשלך ספר אל מלך ישראל, וילך ויקח ויבוא, עשק יקרי כסף. וששת אלפים זהב ועשר חליפות בגדים.
Wow, this is a. I'm sure that this did not. This did not just happen under a vacuum. They had a long discussion about this, and the king realizes that my general, stricken with leprosy, is a huge blow to my army. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the word got around. This could never have happened if word had not gotten around of Elisha's activities and miracles. Okay? There's no way a king is going to give this kind of money for what may be a very dangerous mission. But he really felt confident that there's something here.
Do you think that the girl also realized that if he was her owner, as it were, that if he were powerful, it's good for her? I mean, if he was well and respected, it's good for her.
But is it good for her people?
Don't go with a loser.
The question is, do we want Naaman dead or alive now?
Right.
You would think the average Israelite would say that he's dead.
But it's that he was respected.
Maybe if he's cured, he will have more respect for him. Oh. He'll deal with it differently.
That is the crux of this story, Emma.
What did you, I mean,
if he's cured, maybe he will turn around and deal well with Israel. It just didn't came very close to happening that way. I'll have to see why not.
Right.
It says he's a prominent man before his lord. That means his God.
No,
it's
the king.
Yeah.
His king and
the
governor.
Yeah. I ask a question about what we're calling the Sara'at that he's suffering from. If I understand the discussion, it's not exactly leprosy. We use that word just because there's not a better word. And as I understand Sarat, it would be sort of a spiritual affliction that would apply to Jews primarily. So why would an Aramite, Arami, be getting Sarat?
Right, so notice that the word Sarat doesn't appear. It says he was in Sarat.
Right, a cure him.
No, it means someone who is afflicted to Sarat. That's clearly what it means.
But you have in Pusik...
Oh, later on, absolutely.
Later on, three, right.
So, I would just tell you that it can mean a lot of different things, all under one rubric of skin disorders.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It could be smallpox. It could be a lot of different
psoriasis.
Things.
Right.
Psoriasis.
So they say that it's a dermatologically etymologically connected.
Right.
To leprosy.
Psoriasis.
Psoriasis
is a skin. Psoriasis. Psoriatic in its true pronunciation is much more. Without the T in it. We pronounce it like so. It's really so psoriasis, and even the P beforehand is even some kind of
in English it's
remnant. The remnant of this
it's a skin disorder.
But suggesting that he go to see the Elisha, and Elisha says, go and make the sacrifice in the temple. Or no, he was supposed to go dip the water, but it seems to be somehow, it does seem to be spiritually connected, the disease.
Right, it wouldn't cure a, but Elisha is beyond natural, of course.
Well, we know. Anyway, it's puzzling. Too.
So, it's clear from his story that it's Elisha wouldn't tell him, stop speaking Lashon Hara and be cured. And that's
right.
He does tell him certainly something that's not of the typical curing or advice that you would give to a leper. Lepers usually don't like to dip in water. Painful cold water.
Mm-hmm.
So, want to be in a hot oatmeal bath maybe. The yarding was not something he would take kindly to do. And you'll see his reaction to when he's told to do it. Okay? So, Emma, did you read already? Oh, yes, you did. Yes. So,
Now, when this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, and you shall cure him of his Sarat.
Wow.
And it was when the king of Israel read the letter that he rent his garment and said, do I have power from God to put to bed and to bring to life that this one sent to me to kill a man of his Sarat? Just now and see that he is looking for a threat to attack against me.
The king of Israel gets word of this, but the letter doesn't go straight to the prophet. The letter goes to the king. The king, you know how to get your prophet. Get your prophet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he says, he doesn't say, can your prophet try to cure my
husband?
He has to.
Uh-huh.
Once I'm going through this effort, you have to do it. It's not a question of trying. You're the man, you're the one I heard, I did my research, and you have to do it. The king reacts very bitterly to this. He's going to see. So let's see a few implications of this. By the king reacting this way, he obviously has doubts in Elisha. He's afraid that Elisha can't do this.
He has doubts in God.
He has doubts in God too.
Which king of Israel was this? Uh-huh.
His name was Yehoram, Ahab's son, before they killed him. And well, it also shows when he
afraid
says
afraid of the king of Aram.
Oh, of course.
He like to have revenge.
Oh yes, at this point, yes. And also we see, well, we already know this from other verses in the Bible, that when someone has leprosy, they're like dead. He says, do I have the power to revive the dead? Does anybody have the power?
This is what they mean here.
Absolutely. Says, curing leprosy is like bringing life to the dead. How do we know that from Sarah? Yeah, when Miriam had leprosy, what did Moshe say? I'll not to he kameis, let him not be like a dead person. In the pasuk Mishnas, Mos Hamelach Uziyahu in Yeshayahu, it from other psukim, it seems that Yeshayahu gave prophecies to Uzziah. Right, he gave prophecy, but then he died in the year he died. He gave some in the year he died. But rather, Targum Yonasan and Rashi say, Vishnas Mos HaMelech Uzziah means when Uzziah became a leper. Mm-hmm. Remember, he got leprosy across his forehead? We didn't learn about that. So in these and other cases, we see that a leper is like a dead man. So he says, how can I cure him of his leprosy? He puts it as, how can I bring back the dead?
Why do they use the word
"shof"
together?
Yes, Rashi points out that is the word that is used in many places in Tanakh to cure someone of his.
The word "gather."
Yes, gather. Right. Why Rashi explains why it's used that way is because what has to happen to a leper?
Go out of the camp.
Gather
the rash.
No, he has to get go out of the
camp.
So ashifa means you gather together with the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Rashi says, that you can come back, be part of the community again.
Yeah, so
okay, but then ashifa.
Okay.
I thought our prophets were humble people.
It was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his garments, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you rent your garments? Let him come to me now, and let him know that there is a prophet in Israel."
Do you see, or I think Renee feels it, I want to make sure everyone here feels it, how this, so far, Malachim Bayes, with this king and his brother and his father, so turned on its head. Think what I'm thinking. What am I thinking of? Renee, what are you thinking of?
Last time
he fell through the window, what did he do? His brother fell through the window, and where did his father send to ask if he's going to get better?
That's
when Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you remember Lord of the Flies, Baal-Zebub, Beelzebub, remember that? And remember there was Eliyahu who was still alive, and Eliyahu said, "What are you sending out to Nebuchadnezzar to find out if you're going to get better?" Right? What a twist.
Yes.
Here is the Geishik general
coming
to the Jewish prophet. Everyone goes to the other side, right? The Jewish king goes to the Geish prophet to find out if his son is going to get better. Eliyahu berates him for it. Now his brother, Chazal died. His brother Yehoram doesn't believe that his prophet can take care of the one who's sending in from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is on his head. It's not going to tell us whether the king of Baal-Zebub thought that it was a good idea that the king of Israel went to him for advice. But here, we're all psyched out. How dare you rend your clothes? You may doubt your own zechuyos, but don't doubt my zechuyos. Right? I'm able to take care of this. I'm not worried. Let him know that there is a prophet in Israel. I would have preferred if he said something like, "Let him know that there is someone who can bring down God, who can try to bring down God's strength."
That's the meaning.
Ramban in Bamidbar says that the reason why Moshe and Aaron were punished at the rock is because they took the credit for getting the water. You think we can get water from this rock? Behold! Ramban says they should have said, "Do you think God can make water come from this rock? Behold!" So,
yes, but what he's saying is, Tigeshi Navi the Yisrael, he's not saying Ani Hanavi the Yisrael. He's giving cover to Israel.
Fair enough. Well, he's saying something very interesting, because Chazal, in the Gemara and the Sefer Yuma, the Chazal do find a problem with Shmuel. Remember when Shaul was looking for donkeys? And he said, "Where is the Roeh?" Remember Shmuel's two word answer?
Ani
Haroeh. Some say this is because I said Anochi and not Ani, but Anochi Haroeh. Besides asking yourself, what should he have said, for goodness sake? But to say Anochi Haroeh is a bit arrogant, the Gemara said. Certainly then, what's this?
Very arrogant.
I would say the following. I think I'm the judge in the course of Elisha. Is that Elisha would want it to contrast, exactly what Renee was saying before, wanted to contrast. You don't go to Baal's book for the apostles. The other nations come to our Nevi'im for their problems. Why did you go to Baal-Zebub? It was his father, but You go to the Navi. Mm-hmm. Ish Navi be Israel. Right? It happened to be me this time, okay, but the king should go to the Navi. Look at Naaman goes to the Navi. Right? That's what I said. Okay? Jenny would like to do Okay. So we came with quite an entourage. Quite a bit of money too, right? In the horses, the chariots. And they stood outside the house of Elisha. Okay, Elisha is expecting them.
Right?
Okay. Elisha sent a messenger out and said, go and wash in the Yarden 7 times, and your flesh will return to you, and you'll be pure. Okay, what do you think Naaman's reaction is going to be? He's angry and he started walking away. Tell me two reasons why he should be angry.
That Elisha didn't come out personally.
Why didn't he come out? I'm a pretty big, important guy. I know how to give him cover.
And he probably has his own rivers to wash in. That's an individual.
Yeah. Yep. ויתוך נאמן ואילך, ויאמר, הנה אמרתי אלי יצא יצא ועמד וקרא בשם השם אלוקיו, והניף ידו על המקום. I told him to come out, I am here, very important man. You see the pompous nature of this guy. And I said, call in the name of your God to save me. I've tried every other God. Right? The Chore, he has probably tried everything else. This girl came in, and none of them, nowhere. This girl came in and said, why don't you try Elisha? Right? So, he says, call in the name of your God, and you sweep your hand across it, you like this. You're a Sakha Matsora, right? And just say, that they just do this, and just flick your finger, and that's how you... Let's say you're going to talk. You are making light of my situation by not even coming out and by telling me this ridiculous cure. Right? So it says very, very, very clear. Very clear. So it's easy to say that he is other
Israel.
Now these rivers were named after gods, but whatever it could be. These are, like you just said, there are better rivers in the north where I live than this puny little Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
I think it was much more mighty at that time than it is
today. Oh, yes, very likely, yes. Okay. So these bodies of water are in Damascus, and they're better than all the waters Israel has. I could wash in them. And he turned away in anger, which, by the way, would not be a good thing for the Jews. Thank God some people came to him.
And his servants approached and spoke to him and said, Master, if the prophet spoke to you to do a difficult thing, would you not do it? And surely since he said to you, immerse yourself and become clean. And he went in and immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young lad, and he became clean.
Wow. And just imagine he's up to 4, he's up to 5, and he's like, this is crazy, why am I doing this?
Right. We will say it.
His servant convinced him just in one sentence, and he just
did
all
he had to do. The Bible just is not usually
abbreviated.
He went down, should be total of the Yardin 7 times. And he became like baby skin. Okay? As you could have imagined what happened. Okay? So this is the... let's see where it goes from here. What do you think Naaman now wants to do?
Does he want to reward them?
Sure. I think he came with a lot of money. 10 talents of silver is a tremendous amount of silver. Four, how many, would you say 40 or 400 pieces of gold?
6,000.
Oh, 6,000 coins of gold, right. The whole thing might be good.
Sheshes,
LLP. 1,000 pieces of gold, amazing. Right? So, and 10 chains of clothing. So this is a serious gift is about to be made to Elisha. Right? Let's see what he does. Fabienne, would you read on page 274, verse 15.
And he returned to the man of God. He said, he and his entire camp. And he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except Israel. And now, accepted it from your servants.
Okay, Naaman, according to the Talmud at least, Rashi says here that he converted. So in the very least, he wanted to become what's known as a Noahide. Noahide means he keeps the seven mitzvahs. To be a follower of the Jews. Right? He doesn't keep all the mitzvahs, just these seven. It's known as Chasidei Umos HaOlam. Right. It's very interesting halachic studies on what we're about to learn with respect to the laws of Ben Noach. Because he is going to go back to Aram. He did not stay in Israel and assume some Jewish name and just live secretly as a Jew. No, he went back to Aram. He's still the general. And you would expect that there should be some kind of peace between Israel and Aram now. Remember, that's yeah. The point you made before. But something got in the way. I'm about to read it. Let's see where that goes. Okay, V'yomer Chai Hashem. This is Elisha's response. This year will be 16.
V'yomer Chai Hashem asher ma'adati lefanav imakach v'yavtar bo lakachet v'yma'ein.
Okay, he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stood to do this, I will not take anything. Now, v'yavtar bo. Interesting. Sometimes it says by Yifrotz Bo. I told you once before that sometimes it makes sense. But by Yifrotz is used about five or six different places if someone does not want to do something. Yeah. And in each case, the person ends up doing it. Except this one. Right? Remember, by Yifrotz Bo is Lot insisted that the angels stay and eat with him, and so they did. By Yifrotz, take it out of grace. You press someone to charge someone, right, to do something. Okay? But Elisha stood firm. I cannot accept anything from him. Okay? Sometimes I especially at Hanukkah time, Pesach time, so there's some old ladies who come in from Russia. When they come in with these flowers, they come in with these beads, they make these bracelets, necklaces, and one will give me a gift. I said, I'm not allowed to take this. It's not that there's no quid pro quo here about the money I hand out. I simply cannot, and they go away so dejected, so upset. I think to myself, you know, maybe I should just make them feel better because they want to be giving. You know, they want to give something that they have. But you really, in some cases, you can't take. You're tarnished. You know what I'm saying?
What?
So you know,
what money?
I can't give out chesed money and accept a gift for it. Right. So maybe there's room to consider, but I'm not. Gemara says, "Our faith in a kirvin adomelo." Stay away from things that aren't good and things that don't even look good. Is to accept it and give it to someone else.
Right.
You know, give it, keep it in the charity fund and just give it. All right, but Ramaisa, Elisha does not want to take anything for doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
He has a chance to make such a kiddush Hashem with Naaman, which he does. But if he accepts it, certainly. He's taking some credit for this. Look, everybody else in the world does it. You see, the people tell the prophets, the true prophets, why don't you give a good prophecy and eat more bread? They tell Amos. Did you get it?
Yeah, because that was something different. It was presents.
Right, the people used to like to hear good prophecies and they get better presents. And that's what all the other false prophets were doing, just saying what the people want to hear. Right? And then getting a better salary for it. Amos answered that statement was, I am not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, I am a tender of sycamore trees. He says, I don't need the money, I have a job. I have a regular job.
And it wasn't his miracle, it was God's miracle.
Also reminiscent of Abraham with the war of the kings not accepting. Mm-hmm.
Well, we did accept from Pharaoh, but now we talk about that. Mm-hmm. All right. So Naaman's response to that.
Vayomer Naaman velo yutan na la'abdecha masa temed Paradim Adama Kilo Yase Od Abdecha Ola Vazevach Lelokim Acherim Kiim Lash Larashim.
What
about
clearly he's offering here? Velohia means like halavai. If only you would accept it. What are you trying to do? He's asking him, may I take some dirt here from Israel and take it up to Aram so I can make a mizbeach there and only offer kabbalas to your God. No more of these kabbalas to my gods. The god was called Beit Rimon at the time, where he worshipped their god. So he begs him, can I take please some earth from Israel, for this holy earth, and I want to worship your god on an altar that I make in Aram. And such a thing. To have the general of Aram to be a worshiper of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is an amazing thing. It will change over the whole demographics at that time. It has the potential to. And again, I keep saying again and again, but the opportunity was lost. Look what he says. L'davar hazeh yislach Hashem l'avodecha. Devo adoni beis rimon v'shtachavos shama v'hundi sh'am al yodi v'shtachaveshi beis rimon v'shtachavo yasi beis rimon v'shtachavos no Hashem l'avodecha v'davar hazeh. What is the way that you would describe this speech here? Certainly as you hear it in the Hebrew. It's convoluted.
Yeah.
Very long-winded question. Even if you try to read it in English, not quite clear what he's saying. I mean, basically, the gist of it is that my master, the king of Aram, still expects me to worship with him in his Beit Rimon. So this is the halacha question I mentioned to you about 20 minutes ago, is does a Ben Noach have to die al Kiddush Hashem also? If a Ben Noach takes upon the principles, Noah had principles, I will not worship above the Zara, I will not kill, I will not steal, right? And someone says, die, kill that person or I'll kill you, which we know we're supposed to die rather than violate. We three mystics are supposed to rather submit our lives than violate. Someone says, violate Shabbos or I'll kill you. Violate Shabbos, the whole Shabbos, violate Shabbos rather than die. But these, the three, so the question is, does the Ben Noah have to die for that also? So by the fact that Elisha answered him, the Yemelol Leichel Shalom, the Yelchim Eitov Tivas Ares, and the fact that he told him, go in peace, that you're free to go, means that they don't have to. They can do what they want. Now, what's interesting here is there's an interesting proof from this. I mentioned this at the table, this Shabbos, it was too complicated. No one at my table got it. what would you say is worse? Now, there are two types of Avodah Zarah. There's what I would call hardcore Avodah Zarah, where you place a stone, you place a statue, you put a sword in his hand, or you put a...
To worship
and you worship the statue. You think that this statue is a god and can save me. Now, they weren't so primitive to think that this statue is actually, has eats in it. But that this statue is certainly something for adoration, and it stands for something. Okay? It's all Nabo Dazara. Right? So that's one type. It's called real hardcore absolute Nabo Dazara. Now, there's another type of Nabo Dazara that is not really absolute Nabo Dazara. What it is you believe in Hashem. I know Hashem created the universe. Call him Hashem, call it whatever you want, call him Allah, call it one God. It doesn't matter what you call that God. One God that created the universe. Right? And you even perhaps believe, let's suppose for argument's sake right now, that you believe in his miracles and in the history as recorded in the Torah. You believe he took us out of Egypt. You believe he delivered his will at Mount Sinai. But you find it difficult to believe in him as an idea. So what do you want to do? You want to create something that you can look at and hold and bow down to or whatever, and create something, make it in the image of a calf even, perhaps, and make it out of gold and fashion it and bow to it and say, this is the God who took us out of Egypt. Right? That's called Shituk. It's not real Avodah Zarah, but it's making a partnership between God and something else.
And the relative.
Now, that's not only the ego. What major religion in the world is exactly that?
Jesus.
The
cross.
The
icon.
Right, great. And the God to them. But this is what's called Shituf. It's Yishtatev Shem Shemayim Yidabar Acher. They believe that this thing is created the universe, took us out of Egypt, but I'm conceptualizing it. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Which is worse between these two? Actually believing in this Shituf and bowing to it, right? Obviously bowing to this God or bowing to that idol, this is much worse. This is much worse because this is hardcore Avodah Zarah, it's absolute Avodah Zarah. There are questions of whether this one is Avodah Zarah or not, because you believe in Hashem. You're just quantifying God by a piece of metal, by a piece of something. Some people get dangerously close to this, by the way, today, with different things. But someone, Yishaya Leibowitz, used to talk about the Avodah Zarah of the Kotel. I wouldn't go that far, but
some of the grave sites, too. Right?
Yeah, right. Right. So you have to be careful. Anyway, but here's the question. Sefer Eshkol asks, what's worse, to actually believe in this Shituf, the Egel of Christianity, or to bow to this one, but while doing so, saying, I don't really mean it. And I'm not doing it for real. It's bogus. I'm just doing it. I'm just doing it because the king wants me to. Don't you see what Elisha told him to do? He says, go to Beis Rimon, bow down, but I know it's in your heart because you're telling me now you want to make an altar and pray only to God. But at the same time, you know, remember the story of Hannah? She could have told her seven sons, bow down to the king. Just don't mean it. Right? She could have told him that. You know the story.
Mm-hmm.
Jews could say, I the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, eat the thing, whatever it is they make you do, and dip, and you say, this is nothing. My mind is sick.
During the Holocaust, Jews.
And still, Jews.
Spain people.
Many Jews in Spain did it. So there was Piskei Halacha that said they're allowed to do that. And then when you're finished, you'll come back. That's why they were called Maranus.
Yes.
You hear this? Mar Anus. What does Anus mean in Hebrew? The forced ones, Maranus.
The
forced ones.
But in Spanish, it's called it's pig.
Yeah.
Okay. So it would appear from this story that Elisha is allowing him to bow down, but not mean it. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So
this has ramifications for having doing business with Christians.
Why?
Because if Christianity is real Avodah Zarah, mm-hmm. and Halacha says you're not supposed to do business with people who worship Avodah Zarah, so the Ashkenazi Poskim said Christianity isn't Avodah Zarah. They believe in the creator of the world. They just put something in the middle.
But how come, for example, like you're not supposed to, like, these doormen and people in the building, you shouldn't give them a holiday present
on business.
So why if
on Christmas and New Year's only on those 2 days itself? Because the Ramah just says he's worried that they may come and thank their God on that day. But then the Achronim say, now no one is really so religious anymore. But if you know that they're so religious, mm-hmm. you don't want to be the impetus whereby they'll make a prayer to their
right.
You can also
but you also don't
want to
insult them.
Did you
say
before? Yeah, I never do it. I'm sorry.
No. Why should we be so concerned after what they did to us through the ages? Why should we?
But you have to have the money. They don't have
money. Well, so that means so you forget what happened.
Yeah, but
we should be more. The cards we get from the Police Benevolent Society is going to be a close card. Someone wants to go and buy them.
They
want to
have Thanksgiving so they can do the shopping.
Yeah, right.
We have a dinner waiting for the
envelope. I think we got out of the
Now, take a look at what happens now. We should do one more. 20.
120. Where is it? Vayomer Gehazi Naar Elisha Ish Elkin Hine Hasach Adoni Eit Naaman Haarmi Hazem Mikachat Miado Eit Asher Hevi Chai Hashem Ki Im Ratzti Acharav Lakachti Meito Me
Wow.
And Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, here my master has stopped Naaman, this Aramean, from giving by not taking from his hand what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him.
He's just paying it to himself. Right. Now, it's just amazing. This is What a shanda, because Naaman left with such good intentions, and they were, the war continued right afterwards. The war is continuing in the next chapter. So either Naaman is a holy liar, and just kissed up at the time, and couldn't be strong enough to affect policy back home. I mean, I'm sure when he comes back home with clear skin as he did, that made the newspapers. I have actually, you know, this Chronicles, this three volumes, the headlines, Naaman cured the trust. So either he's a pathological liar, or he was so turned off, you know, Alicia's this big, now he changes his mind. You should have realized that it wasn't Elisha, it was this stupid Gehazi. But now you see why the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Gehazi was in Mochelik Olamah, because he really changed so, really ruined it. Could have been 100 years of peace, who knows what, and instead the war continued.
Because of his deed?
Yeah, look what happens. He catches up to him. Vayudof, Gehazi achari Naaman, v'yireh, Naaman rotz acharav, v'yipol me'al merchavol, v'yipasov, v'yimra ha-shalom. Naaman sees Gehazi running after him. Can't imagine that Gehazi running could catch up to the chariots, but he doesn't say he was running, he says he chased.
He sees him
running after him. So he got off and came to cut him off maybe someplace. And Naaman leaned over the chariot. It means that you know, he stops the whole entourage. He says, hold on, this man is serious. Let me hear what he has to say. He says, everything okay? Ha-shalom? Shalom. A lot of shaloms in this. Shalom, Adonai Shlochani Lemor, Hinei Atozeh Ba'u Elai, Shnei Narim, Mehar Ephraim, Mehar Hanavim, Shnon Lom Lohem, Ki Perketah Ushtecha. He says Elisha changed his mind. Yes, something new came up. And needs to support someone. Right? Let me tell you, if I do something like this, I would very happily take all that gold and silver and say, thank you, I shall use this for a donation. I'm always upon myself saying something like that. But I can't accept any personal favors from you, but I will. What's the difference with these ladies? Is these ladies are the ones getting my help. I don't want to get anything from them. Mm-hmm. But when I do some help to someone, for something special, whatever it is, and he wants to be famous, I said, in a second, I'll tell you where you can spend that money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what I'm saying? So, that's the... That's what Elisha is doing. Okay?
So
Chad is there, of course. Remember Naaman, Hoel kach ki karayim. Beifrat bo beyotar ki karayim keset mishnei chavitim v'shtei chavitos v'dim v'tein el shnei narabi yisulupano. And he said, please take more. Take, I mean, this is not a fraction of what he brought. You see, why do you think Echadi asks for so little? Echadi doesn't have this. No, Echadi doesn't know what he has.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? If he knew what he came with? Mm-hmm. Probably when he sees the 2 talents of silver, he kicks himself.
But he does, Naaman doesn't seem angry.
Well, at least not right here.
Used to that kind of thing.
We don't know what he shared when he got back home. But mm-hmm. Murray, would you like to read, please?
How does he know he has suits then? I mean, suits and no way of exchanging?
Suits
also, yeah. I understand.
But he probably had uniforms, all those men, you know.
At least what it changes, really.
You remember in the movie The Patriot, how... someone captured General Cornwallis' diary and he read all of his strategies, he says, this man is the most brilliant statistician and strategist the world has ever seen. There's no way we can win this war. He keeps reading and reading and reading, and he sees this man is pompous. I don't know if this is exactly how it went, but the pomposity of General Cornwallis made him lose the war. What happened? This is back. He used to travel with 20-25 changes of clothing. He used to have an entourage just carrying his clothes.
With
poles and big trunks carrying his changes of clothing. What they did, they captured those changes of clothing and won certain battles by dressing up as him on the other side. And there was one battle where they stuffed scarecrows with the clothing from very far distance and said, you have 8 of your generals over there looking within your telescope, and we're not going to let them go unless you leave this whole thing. And when they left, and then they said, okay, now go get them. And they came close to it. So
right.
So it's very possible that they traveled in the tent. Anyway, he says, they came to a secret place, and he took it from him, okay, and exchanged the gifts. Murray, would you read 20-25?
Who for? Vayam doi el Adono Vyoima Eva Elisha Me'ayim Gehazi Vayoima Loi Hola Abdecho One Vo Odo Vayoim.
When Gehazi came home that day, I don't know, if I were Gehazi, I would have just cut down. How could this is the answer I gave him last week. How could Gehazi think that Elisha wouldn't know?
Did he?
Well,
did he?
Elisha didn't confront him. Elisha said, what did you do today? You were gone a long time.
Yeah, that's a funny question.
Here and there. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you did some mischief at school and you're coming in front line. So what happened at school today?
Nothing.
You got to think very fast. If they know, and they're caught lying, that could be worse. Maybe they don't know. If they don't know and you confess, then you confess for nothing, right? You say, no, what do you have? We're going to keep it up, right?
Usually greeted with, why are you so interested?
No, what do you know?
They know.
Yeah.
They know.
Like when I used to come home very late, and my mother would say, what time did you come home last night? How long did you wait up for me?
All right, so...
Okay. So let's read Chof Avalisa. We're in my life. I mean, he didn't take all these things for sure, right? He said, this is how you ruin all my good work? You don't realize what you just ruined? This man was so powerful and could go home thinking what a Kiddush Hashem is, that I'm not like all these other prophets. They're prophets for profit, right? So now what do? You go and take silver, you take clothing, and he doesn't let go. He says, you take Jason and all those other things.
He didn't even get all that.
No.
Well, the silver could buy it for him.
Right. That's exactly what the Targum was. That's the Targum was.
Then what's the silver could buy?
Right. It's time to take the silver and to buy clothing and olive trees and vineyards, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't have to work for me anymore.
To buy.
Okay. So,
But why did Naaman get so angry anyway?
Well, we don't see what Naaman does.
No, Naaman doesn't stay here at all. It just means that the war continues. Now, the war may have continued because Naaman was a holy liar and he just didn't mean what he said. Right?
Yeah, he didn't seem angry at all.
Okay, now, let's not look at the last pasuk. What would be just the right way to end the story? Because that's what the Bible is. The whole Bible is Mida Kenegad Mida. You reap what you sow. For good or for bad. That's every message of the Bible is in that direction, isn't it? So what did Gehazi reap? Mari?
Leprosy.
He reaped leprosy. You think I lost it? Think I'm not in the ball anymore?
Uh-huh.
Look in the mirror.
No.
Yes. Just to go back, you know, to plus 20. Twice you have. This is where Gehazi is thinking about what he's going to do. You have to, you know, why did he get this thought? What is it about? And twice you see the mentioned servant of Elisha, Isha Elohim, the man of God, and then later on, Chai Hashem. You know, so he's thinking to himself, as God lives, right? So like Hashem comes into play twice in this sentence when he's concocting this this scheme.
Yeah.
So it's very puzzling.
He's a religious man. Right? Just very misguided.
And yet he's ready to lie.
He is such a type of person. Justified. This is necessary.
Read the newspapers, they will lie.
Okay, my friends, that was a great chapter.
Yep.
Thank you. So we did 4 hours in a row.
Yes.
Last week was this past Shabbat. Next week is another after hour. Look at that. Funny when you read
it.
Okay.
Although this year, we will not read this after hour. It's only the least.